2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to read verses 6 through 10. We don't have this up here just yet for Sunday school. We will. The reason so is because we've had another class start, and our video guys, they're in those classes, but we'll get those up there. Looking forward to the next hour to be a better help to you in that area. But 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 6 through 10, it's going to read this. It says, "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." I like this verse here real quick. I'm just going to stop here. If you ever have a conversation with somebody, and you really don't have the understanding of what they're saying, and in a very polite way, they say this, "Consider this." And they give you a little bit more of an explanation. I had a conversation with my sister this week. We're kind of going back and forth. It wasn't nothing negative, but she was trying to explain something to me, and my brain just wasn't registering at this time. And she looks over, and Chris, she goes, "I can't explain it any better." I started laughing. I took a little bit of offense to it at first, but then I started laughing. But I started thinking about this verse here this week, and that's exactly what she was saying to me. "Chad, consider this." So here's what Paul, after this conversation that he's having with Timothy, says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Let's go back to verse number 1 of chapter number 2, and we're going to read why we're up to this point. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." We dealt with this last week, the importance of us to be strong. Gave us some examples. We're going to go over that a little bit this morning. Verse number 2, it says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." And then you go down to verse number 7. "Consider the ways. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Let's have a word of prayer. Because we all need understanding from God's word this morning. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time that you have given us this morning. I thank you for your people who are faithful to you to come out and to... Lord, hopefully to be blessed by your word. God, I pray that you'd use me this morning to be very clear in what you've given me, to be a blessing, maybe to be a challenge as well to your people. Again, we have so many folks that have just been struggling with this illness that's going around. Lord, I think of Julie especially this morning, how she's really been under the weather for a good few weeks now, and how it's really taken a toll on her. So God, I pray this morning that you just give her healing in her body. Lord, I pray for Charlie now as he's getting the sickness that she has had. And God, I pray that you just work and heal in his body as well. And Lord, if there's anybody else that I'm not aware of that's going through an ailment in their life, God, I pray that you just bring healing. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. Today we're going to be talking about good work ethics. It's kind of what we kind of led up to last week with Paul being in discussion with Timothy to be a good soldier last week. So we left off with Paul telling Timothy to be strong. He used the word soldier, and he went on and talked about the athlete a little bit, which we didn't get a chance to really discuss. Today we will begin with the farmer. Danny, you'll like this. So we're going to be talking about you this morning. Get a little bit more insight of what you go through. But we're going to be dealing with the farmer known as the husbandman. The focus will be a little different for this reason. Let me explain. I believe it's important to focus on the work ethic of these three men or these three occupations that have been mentioned. You mean an athlete is an occupation? Yes. An athlete is an occupational job. They're making millions and if not billions of dollars throughout their career. And in order to get to where any of these folks are at, you got to have a good work ethic. Every one of these takes a different person to fulfill these occupations. You know, one of the greatest desires that I ever had as a young person, I know probably many young people go through this as well, is through the realm of sports. Hey, I want to be the best in my sport so that I can make this my occupation, so I can go on television and everybody's going to know me from one continent to the other continent. Well, that didn't happen to me. Thank God for that, because honestly, I don't know if I want to be caught up in that lifestyle. But a lot of folks it takes a different person to fulfill these occupations. One of the things that I've realized is this: not everybody is going to be a soldier. Many of you folks don't know this, but when I turned 18 years of age, you've heard me talk about this from time to time, but when I was 18 years of age, I had the Marines heavily recruiting me. I was a big guy for my size at my age, and they told me specifically, we want you because of your size. And so they were at my door a few times, but at the same time, they didn't know what was going on behind the scenes because I just started really having interest in my wife. And so I had a deal where I wanted to go, but I also had, man, I got this beautiful girl right here. Why would I want to jeopardize that? Why would I want to leave that? That's how my mind was thinking. So when it came time for me to take the test, and at the time they allowed you to take a test to see what type of a job that you're qualified for. Well, you got to know me with tests. I'm not very good at it. Well, I went into this to be even better than that. I didn't want to be recognized for anything. So I just went in and I started circling stuff. I was done with the test probably in about 5 minutes. You had all these other guys. There's a few women in there as well, taking their time trying to get the right answer because they want to make this their career. Well, I didn't. I knew what I wanted. And that was my blonde-haired wife back there. And so at the end of the test, they come to me. They said, Chad, you're not qualified for anything. I said, thank you, Lord. Right out the door I went. So not everybody is going to be a soldier. But with that being said, as we sit in here this morning, I believe every single one of us in here this morning, unless I don't know of something, is a child of God, right? And so with being a child of God, you this morning have been enlisted into the army of God. And that makes you a what? It makes you a soldier. Now, we're all going to serve in different fields as we go through life, being in a ministry, being in the army for God. But not everybody in life is going to be a soldier out in the real world. Not everyone will be the athlete that they are striving to be. My athletic days are now, I believe, behind me. I decided a couple weeks ago, I told Chris this, because I go to the gym every once in a while. I try to get there about 3 times a week just to, I don't know what I'm doing it for, to be honest with you. I've gotten to a point in time in my life where every time I pick up a weight, I'm just, why? It hurts. This is stupid. It don't make sense. So I told her the other day, I said, Chris, I'm going to try to get on the treadmill, and I'm going to run. And she's like, okay. I told you guys last week that I couldn't figure out how to run anymore. Well, come Friday night, I purposely put my tennis shoes on, which I don't normally wear my tennis shoes to the gym. And you go, what do you wear? I wear my Crocs, because I don't want nothing to do with the treadmill at all. I think the treadmill's stupid. But anyway, I got on there. And I started running. I said, I'm going to run for 4 minutes. I made the 4 minutes. And I was like, you know what? I felt pretty good. I wasn't winded. I was still standing upright. I felt my heart beating out of my chest. Like, hey, I'm alive here. So I decided to do something different. I said, I'm going to up this thing. It's got a speedometer on there. I went up to 7 miles an hour. And I'm running. I mean, I'm running. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if I can go a little bit faster. If you guys want to have something to laugh at, she's got the video, because my wife's got to take a video of everything. But I say this for this reason. My athletic days are over. But that doesn't mean that my endurance to continue for the Lord is over. I still got to stay in shape. I still got to stay in shape spiritually to continue to work for the Lord. So I want us to understand that. Not everybody is going to be a farmer. A farmer is a different lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that I'm somewhat familiar with because I had an uncle, my Uncle Gene, that had a farm in Silver City. And I remember going down there on many different occasions just not to work. I think Christy worked a few times down there, and Jeff and Andrew, I'm not sure. But I remember just going down there, and I was able to play in their haystack and all those stuff. So I'm a little bit familiar how their lifestyle was. But one thing I treasured about those memories going down there, my Uncle Gene, you walk in his house, he had a room just full of hats. And you can just smell the sweat off of those things. And that was such a tremendous smell to me. The training regimen for an athlete is unbelievable. The sacrificing of certain foods. The strict schedule that they need to stick to become good after sport. The lack of a social life as well. Most athletes, their days begin around 3 o'clock in the morning. I kid you not. Anywhere between 3 and 5 o'clock in the morning. I've done that 5 o'clock morning thing, and I tell you what, it is overrated. Every time I try to do those things, and there's people that can do that, but every time I try to do those things, I got this sick feeling to my stomach. I don't know what it was. But they'll sacrifice some things to get to the point where they want to be. The work ethic that they must have and put into their lives, to put into their profession, for what reason? To become successful. That's what they're doing this for. And they want to be successful. If they don't put the effort into the sport or into the occupation that they're in, then they will never become successful, and they will probably have to find another career. Danny's been in farming for years, and it takes a lot of hard work. It takes dedication. It's not just getting up one morning and just deciding to go out and to till the ground and throw some seed in there. There's more to it. There's more pressure than what we realize. You know, we all want rain. Yes, farmers want rain as well, but they don't want torrential downfalls. You get those torrential downfalls, then the seeds that they planted can be washed out. And then when that seed's finally been able to take growth, it begins to sprout up. And then all of a sudden, we get into a certain part of our summertime, and hail begins to come forth from the sky. And hail can damage their crops. And when their crops are damaged, it takes away from their livelihood. So there's a lot that goes into these things. So from the soldier to the athlete, and now we're going to focus on the farmer. The farmer, the one who provides not for just one, but a farmer who provides for millions of people. This world is working today because of farmers. Not only because of farmers, but I want you to think of something else that we don't think about. Truckers. Truckers are a big part of this as well. But I'm going to focus on the farmer this morning. Farmers are the ones who are the most forgotten about. As we took off yesterday and we began to go to Kansas City, I began to see, as the further south that we went, the drier the fields got. We're still a little bit green around here, but further south, they're dry. And they're in their fields harvesting what they put in the ground a few months ago. But farmers are the most forgotten about people. There is something to say about the farmer and his work ethic. But we can't forget to mention the sacrifice on the end of the farmer's life as well. We're going to talk about that just for a little bit, because there is sacrifice that takes place in the life of a farmer. No different than anybody else, really, when we all have occupations, jobs to go to, there's sacrifice. But there's a little bit more sacrifice on the life of the farmer. So what is that sacrifice? The thing that most of us don't even consider. They sacrifice time. Well, don't we all sacrifice time? Yes, we all sacrifice time. A lot of us have jobs that are just 8 to 5, or 9 to 5, or 10 to 6. We sacrifice that time anywhere between 8 to 10 hours a day. But a farmer, they sacrifice more time than that. It's usually from sun up till sundown, and sometimes it's even past sundown. If you're ever out late at night and you're traveling out into the country, you're now seeing farmers harvesting late at night. They got lights now, amen? And so they're going beyond the nighttime. So they sacrifice time. Time away from what? Time away from family. Time away from family when most people gather around a dinner table about 6 o'clock, having supper, reminiscing about what has taken place of the day. But a farmer, they're going to miss out on those things. They're going to be able to have that time. I'm trying to paint a picture here. So why would Paul tell Timothy to be like a farmer? And I hope that we can see through Scripture why. A farmer is often left working by himself. Would I be correct on that statement, Danny? You're often working by yourself. And when you see somebody, you're probably elated. Oh, finally, a human being. And I know Neil goes through this as well. And I believe Will is in the farming as well. So there's a lot. And Chris. We got a lot of farmers in here. See, if I don't mention your guys' name, you're going to chuck some corn at me. So I'm being smart here. But anyway, there's a lot of time that has taken place. A farmer's often left working by himself, just like that of a pastor. This is why Paul is taking the time, and he mentions a farmer last, because a farmer must have a good work ethic, and a farmer is going to be left by himself on many different occasions, and so is a pastor. Paul, in a sense, was telling Timothy, in the ministry, you cannot be lazy. Would you agree, farmers that are in here, you cannot afford to be lazy. You have to be on it. You have to be at it. You also have to be at it in different areas. You got to find out the best product that you're going to need to keep those weeds away from the crop that you have planted. You got to find the best seed that's going to give you the best growth and the best ear of corn as well. You got to have those things. In the ministry, you can't be lazy. And the easiest place to be lazy is this. It's in the ministry. I never thought of it like that before, but my old pastor, as I was talking to him probably about 8 years ago, he says, Chad, the easiest place to be lazy is in the ministry. Because you don't really have nobody telling you what to do throughout the day. And you can't afford to be lazy. You have to be productive. Paul wanted Timothy to have the work ethic of a farmer. If a farmer shows any signs of laziness, his whole livelihood could be lost. Now, you farmers in here this morning, aren't you glad that Paul took the time to mention you this morning? Seriously, because he's wanting preachers, pastors, evangelists, missionaries to have that work ethic that a farmer has. To me, that's a great compliment to you men. And so he's being complimenting to you folks. He wanted them to have the same work ethic of a farmer. As I just said, if a farmer shows any signs of laziness, his whole livelihood can be lost. If his whole livelihood is lost, then that farmer who is sacrificed and dedicated his time, is if he doesn't have nothing to show for it, that's pretty devastating. So let's continue to go on here. So the farmer gets up every day and works hard to preserve what he has. A farmer's work isn't glamorous by any means, but it is a job that is vital to the whole community. For what reason? So that we can survive. So that we can live. So that we can have life. You know, a pastor's job isn't glamorous as well either. Why do they do what they do? So that your livelihood isn't lost. You know, they're not feeding you physical food to survive, but a pastor is trying to feed you spiritual food so that you can survive. We're going to go get into that here in a little bit. Realistically, a farmer who is lazy should find another occupation. Would you gentlemen agree with that? If you know of a farmer who's lazy, you might say, buddy, you're not cut out for this. You need to find a different occupation. A pastor slash teacher is a group of people that Paul and Timothy are a part of. It's a group where laziness should not be tolerated. God has no place for lazy pastors. God has no place for lazy teachers. You have to put in the work. Amen? You have to put in the work. For an example, why did we do what we did yesterday? Because you got to put in the work to have fellowship with people. Well, Chad, that's pretty silly of you to cram into a van and go to Kansas City and have some barbecue and some ice cream and play putt-putt when you could have done it in Omaha. Yeah, we could have done it in Omaha. But if we would have done it in Omaha, we would not have had that connection that we had in that van for 6 hours. So you put in the work. You put in that time so that we can have fellowship, so that we can have conversations about the Word of God. You know what took place yesterday? This is really cool. We stopped at a few gas stations. Now, some of us are a little bit older now. A three-hour trip turns into 5 hours. You got to make stops. And I know if anybody that was 55 and older, we probably would have had made more stops. We would have had to probably make it a three-day trip. But one of the things that I noticed was this. The work wasn't done just because we're in a van in a different city. There are tracks being put on cars from our church. See, I say this for a reason. Just because you're still having fun doesn't mean the work stops, does it? You still put in the work. And I was encouraged to see those things take place. You have to put in the work. A pastor slash teacher, regardless where you're serving, if you are lazy, you should not be in the ministry. You can't expect everybody else to be doing the work for you. I've heard people say, what makes a good pastor? One who is able to delegate. Yes, I would agree with that. But a pastor can't just depend upon everybody else doing the work. He's got to do the work as well. A teacher can't depend on all of his helpers to do the work. A teacher has to put in that time as well. You have to have a good work ethic. This isn't to be cruel, but God wants workers who are going to put in some hard work. A farmer puts in hard work. Work that we don't see take place. They probably have a schedule that would probably blow our mind away. Man, I got to take care of this, I got to take care of that, I got to take care of that, and oh, it's 12:30 at night. I need to go home, get some rest. There's a good work ethic there. Paul was a hard-working laborer. We find this, go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just a few chapters back, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read verses 9 through 10. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 through 10. It says this, it says, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and this grace, and his grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I what? I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. So here in this verse here, you see Paul not really boasting about his worth, but he's saying, hey, I have labored, I put in the time, and I've done it more than what they've done. But it wasn't because of me, it was because of the grace of God. And he recognized that. If Paul didn't put the labor into the ministry, then the outcome would have been totally different. Matter of fact, what I mean by that? Well, if Paul was a lazy minister, we might be reading about him in a different sense. We might not have a majority of the New Testament written by him. But even with that being said, as I just said, Paul wrote a majority of the New Testament. Even while he was in prison, Paul was not lazy. He took time to write letters to the churches, either to scold them or to edify them. So he put labor into the ministry. What you put into things, you'll eventually reap the reward. And it is so true. I'm going to use Gary for an example. Gary hired Nolan the last couple summers to work with him. And Nolan's job got a little bit harder this year. And they were doing a remodeling this year. And really, it was like an addition to the house. And Nolan's new to this occupation, and he sees the house already, but he doesn't see the outcome of it. Well, as he stuck around through the summer, guess what he was able to see? He was able to see the reward of the labor that went into it. And if I correct me if I'm wrong, Gary, when you guys got close to the end, he's like, wow, we've done this. See, there's rewards into being a hard worker. Amen? There's rewards into those things. Paul, in the latter half, back in 2 Timothy, Paul in the latter half of verse number 6, let me get back there. Encourages Timothy to take first of his crop. Let's read this again. It says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. When Timothy had spiritual food to give to the church, he must first take of it. If he wasn't fed the word of God, then he couldn't feed others. It would be impossible for any I shouldn't say impossible, because there's a lot of people that do get into the pulpit without studying the word of God. But in order for me to be successful in giving you the word of God, I must first partake of it. See, a lot of you folks will sit there and say, man, Chad was so rough on us and so hard on us today. Well, I want you to understand what I have to go through throughout the week. I'm dealing with it a lot more than what you're dealing with it just for the hour. And I hope you understand those things. An effective pastor or teacher, I want you to listen to this one, will get more out of the message than the audience does. There's times where I just cannot wait to get up here to give the message. Now, I was done with this on Wednesday night. Just because I was done typing it all up doesn't mean that I was done meditating upon it. It was on my mind most of the day yesterday. Everything was. So a pastor or a teacher will get more out of the message than the audience does. His time of preparation to teach God's word will also be a time of warm fellowship with God. And that is so true. There are so many times where as I'm reading, I'm trying to type stuff up, I stop and I just sit back. And I'll just begin to pray and just have that fellowship with God. It's, I can't describe it really, but it's really a time of peacefulness for me. And then I just get lost in my thoughts and just start thinking about the goodness of God. It's a sweet time of warm fellowship with God. Like a good farmer, any godly pastor will work hard, which is true, and then he will patiently await the harvest. You farmers that are in here, you went out this spring, you cultivated the field, you've planted the seed, you haven't been sitting idly by, you've been working very hard, and now you're at the point where you're going to go out into the field and you're going to harvest what you planted. You've been patiently waiting. And when you're patiently waiting to harvest, which really comes at the end of the age, not at the end of the meeting. Amen? Paul encourages Timothy in verse number 7. I know I've taken some time on this, but I might not get through this, which is okay. Paul encourages Timothy in verse number 7 to consider the things that he just spoke to him. The soldier that stops fighting the battle before it is finished will never see victory. That's why Paul is saying, hey, consider this. If you're going to quit before the battle's even finished, you're not going to see victory. There's a lot of soldiers, and I'm not talking just in the army in the world, I'm talking about in the army of God, who quits the army of God, and they don't see the victory. They walk away. That's the amazing thing about all this. God's created us with a free will, free choice. We can come and go. No different than church. We can come and go. Nobody's being held at gunpoint here. And so Paul's saying, hey, consider the ways. The athlete who stops running the race before it is over will never win the race. Now, the other day, as I was on a treadmill, I wasn't trying to win anything. But an athlete needs to stay focused, needs to stay on course to reap the rewards. The farmer who stops working before the harvest will never see the fruit of his crops. We must persevere and receive understanding, is what Paul's saying here. We must persevere and receive understanding from the Lord in all things. There's a lesson for everything. Timothy is instructed by Paul in verse number 8 to hold fast to the truth of the gospel. Remember that Jesus Christ, verse number 8, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So he's encouraging him to hold fast to the truth of the gospel for what? To preach that Jesus was and is the Messiah of Israel and the seed of David. God's plan of rescue was through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen to that. And then he's commanded to preach that he was also raised from the dead. This is something that we often overlook. Oh, no big deal. Jesus raised himself from the dead. Can I tell you something? There's nobody else that's ever done that thing. No one. This is one of the greatest credits that Jesus has. No other man has raised himself from the dead. Not even Buddha, not even Muhammad, none of those. Remember, the word gospel means good news. For Paul, the best news was not about more money. It was more love, more status, or more stuff. That's not what it was about to him. The good news was about a real relationship with God through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And how was he trying to encourage Timothy to get to that point? And that was this: remember what I said, have understanding, be strong, and put in good work ethic. You must have it. Paul's life wasn't a glamorous life, by the way. Many preachers today could not survive what Paul went through. Nor do I believe that many of them would want to. You mean you wouldn't want to do that? Let's be real, folks. What is glamorous about the authority chasing you around from city to city, wanting to either kill you or put you in jail? Yeah, I'll sign right up for that. You want that in blood? No, it wasn't a glamorous lifestyle. Paul clearly says that he suffered and was in trouble throughout his ministry. Verse number 9 says, "Wherein I suffer trouble, as an evildoer, even unto the bonds, but the word of God is not bound." Paul would often find himself bound in chains. He would find himself being in prison, and he would find himself stoned or even left for dead. Why did Paul do this? Paul gladly suffered for the cause of Christ. When many find it easier and more convenient to walk away, Paul walked into his sufferings. It's like there's a door there. And it said, "Hey, Paul, there's sufferings beyond this door. Walk on through." Paul didn't knock, grabbed his doors, opened them right up, and walked through. When we see those doors, we see the word suffer, we see the word trouble, we see the word tribulation, and we just walk away. No, Paul walked right into it. Why? Because he was glad to suffer for the cause of Christ. He was glad to face them head on, never second-guessing himself. We're going to deal with Paul in the next hour to come, and I'm looking forward to it. But this was done so the gospel would be preached, and that when preached and heard, souls would receive the salvation of Jesus Christ. Paul could not afford to have bad work ethics. Paul could not afford to be lazy. He gave us three occupations that are listed here in Scripture that you have to put in the hard labor. Being a believer is not an easy job. Folks, if we want to be successful and if we want the world to hear the good news of what we heard, to receive what we've received, then guess what, Tom? We have to put in the work. We have to. There's no other way around it. I know these farmers in here would probably say, the guy that's going to come on the field and help them out, they'll probably determine within the next 24 hours if he's going to make it. And they can probably tell by the look that they have on their hands. Ones that are got some dirt underneath the nails, they're probably saying, "Hey, that's the guy I want." They find a guy that has no dirt underneath his nails and always putting hand lotion on to keep his hands nice and soft, they'll probably say, "You know what, this guy's not going to make it." We have to put in the work. We must. We can't afford to be lazy. I know you read the end of the Bible. I know you all know that the Lord's coming back. But folks, I'm going to close with this thought. Why are we allowing everybody else to have more fun than what we're having? That's all I'm going to say. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the message that Paul has given Timothy to be a hard worker, not to be lazy. Lord, it's easy to be lazy. Lord, it takes endurance. It takes strength to continue the hard work that's ahead of us. But God, I know that through it all, you're with us. You're giving us that energy. You're giving us that strength to make it through every single day. God, I pray that you would allow us to be more fruitful for your kingdom. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Occupations that have been mentioned. You mean an athlete is an occupation? Yes. An athlete is an occupational job. They're making millions and if not billions of dollars throughout their career. And in order to get to where any of these folks are at, you got to have a good work ethic. Every one of these takes a different person to fulfill these occupations. You know, one of the greatest desires that I ever had as a young person, I know probably many young people go through this as well, is through the realm of sports. Hey, I want to be the best in my sport so that I can make this my occupation, so I can go on television and everybody's going to know me from one continent to the other continent. Well, that didn't happen to me. thank God for that, because honestly, I don't know if I want to be caught up in that lifestyle. But a lot of folks it takes a different person to fulfill these occupations. One of the things that I've realized is this: not everybody is going to be a soldier. Many of you folks don't know this, but when I turned 18 years of age, you've heard me talk about this from time to time, but when I was 18 years of age, I had the Marines heavily recruiting me. I was a big guy for my size at my age, and they told me specifically, we want you because of your size. And so they were at my door a few times, but at the same time, they didn't know what was going on behind the scenes because I just started really having interest in my wife. And so I had a deal where I wanted to go, but I also had, man, I got this beautiful girl right here. Why would I want to jeopardize that? Why would I want to leave that? That's how my mind was thinking. So when it came time for me to take the test, and at the time they allowed you to take a test to see what type of a job that you're qualified for. Well, you got to know me with tests. I'm not very good at it. Well, I wanted this to be even better than that. I didn't want to be recognized for anything. So I just went in and I started circling stuff. I was done with the test probably in about 5 minutes. You had all these other guys. There's a few women in there as well, taking their time trying to get the right answer because they wanted to make this their career. Well, I didn't. I knew what I wanted. And that was my blonde-haired wife back there. And so at the end of the test, they come to me. They said, Chad, you're not qualified for anything. I said, thank you, Lord. Right out the door I went. So not everybody is going to be a soldier. But with that being said, as we sit in here this morning, I believe every single one of us in here this morning, unless I don't know of something, is a child of God, right? And so with being a child of God, you this morning have been enlisted into the army of God, and that makes you a what? It makes you a soldier. Now, we're all going to serve in different fields as we go through life, being in a ministry, being in the army for God. But not everybody in life is going to be a soldier out in the real world. Real world. Not everyone will be the athlete that they are striving to be. My athletic days are now, I believe, behind me. I decided a couple weeks ago, I told Chris this, because I go to the gym every once in a while. I try to get there about 3 times a week just to, I don't know what I'm doing it for, to be honest with you. I've gotten to a point in time in my life where every time I pick up a weight, I'm just, why? It hurts. This is stupid. It don't make sense. So I told her the other day, I said, Chris, I'm going to try to get on the treadmill and I'm going to run. And she's like, okay. I told you guys last week that I couldn't figure out how to run anymore. Well, come Friday night, I purposely put my tennis shoes on, which I don't normally wear my tennis shoes to the gym. You go, what do you wear? I wear my Crocs because I don't want nothing to do with the treadmill at all. I think the treadmill's stupid. But anyway, I got on there, and I started running. I said, I'm going to run for 4 minutes. I made the 4 minutes. And I was like, you know what? I felt pretty good. I wasn't winded. I was still standing upright. I felt my heart beating out of my chest. Like, hey, I'm alive here. So I decided to do something different. I said, I'm going to up this thing. It's got a speedometer on there. I went up to 7 miles an hour. And I'm running. I mean, I'm running. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if I can go a little bit faster. If you guys want to have something to laugh at, she's got the video because my wife's got to take a video of everything. But I say this for this reason. My athletic days are over. But that doesn't mean that my endurance to continue for the Lord is over. I still got to stay in shape. I still got to stay in shape spiritually to continue to work for the Lord. So I want us to understand that. Not everybody is going to be a farmer. A farmer is a different lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that I'm somewhat familiar with because I had an uncle, my Uncle Gene, that had a farm in Silver City. And I remember going down there on many different occasions, just not to work. I think Christy worked a few times down there, and Jeff and Andrew. I'm not sure, but I remember just going down there, and I was able to play in their haystack and all those stuff. So I'm a little bit familiar how their lifestyle was. But one thing I treasured about those memories going down there, my Uncle Gene, you walk in his house, he had a room just full of hats. And you can just smell the sweat off of those things. And that was such a tremendous smell to me. The training regimen for an athlete is unbelievable. The sacrificing of certain foods. The strict schedule that they need to stick to become good after sport. The lack of a social life as well. Most athletes, their days begin around 3 o'clock in the morning. I kid you not. Anywhere between 3 and 5 o'clock in the morning. I've done that 5 o'clock morning thing, and I tell you what, it is overrated. Every time I try to do those things, and there's people that can do that, but every time I try to do those things, I got this sick feeling to my stomach. I don't know what it was. But they'll sacrifice some things to get to the point where they want to be. The work ethic that they must have and put into their lives, to put into their profession, for what reason? To become successful. That's what they're doing this for. And they want to be successful. If they don't put the effort into the sport or into the occupation that they're in, then they will never become successful, and they will probably have to find another career. Danny's been in farming for years, and it takes a lot of hard work. It takes dedication. It's not just getting up one morning and just deciding to go out and to till the ground and throw some seed in there. There's more to it. There's more pressure than what we realize. You know, we all want rain. Yes, farmers want rain as well, but they don't want torrential downfalls. You get those torrential downfalls, then the seeds that they planted can be washed out. And then when that seed's finally been able to take growth, it begins to sprout up, and then all of a sudden we get into a certain part of our summertime, and hail begins to come forth from the sky. And hail can damage their crops. And when their crops are damaged, it takes away from their livelihood. So there's a lot that goes into these things. So from the soldier to the athlete, and now we're going to focus on the farmer. The farmer, the one who provides not for just one, but a farmer who provides for millions of people. This world is working today because of farmers. Not only because of farmers, but I want you to think of something else that we don't think about. Truckers. Truckers are a big part of this as well. But I'm going to focus on the farmer this morning. Farmers are the ones who are the most forgotten about. As we took off yesterday and we began to go to Kansas City, I began to see, as the further south that we went, the drier the fields got. We're still a little bit green around here, but further south, they're dry. And they're in their fields harvesting what they put in the ground a few months ago. But farmers are the most forgotten about people. There is something to say about the farmer and his work ethic. But we can't forget to mention the sacrifice on the end of the farmer's life as well. We're going to talk about that just for a little bit, because there is sacrifice that takes place in the life of a farmer. No different than anybody else, really, when we all have occupations, jobs to go to, there's sacrifice. But there's a little bit more sacrifice on the life of the farmer. So what is that sacrifice? The thing that most of us don't even consider. They sacrifice time. Well, don't we all sacrifice time? Yes, we all sacrifice time. A lot of us have jobs that are just 8 to 5, or 9 to 5, or 10 to 6. We sacrifice that time anywhere between 8 to 10 hours a day. But a farmer, they sacrifice more time than that. It's usually from sun up till sundown, and sometimes it's even past sundown. If you're ever out late at night and you're traveling out into the country, you're now seeing farmers harvesting late at night. They got lights now, amen? And so they're going beyond the nighttime. So they sacrifice time. Time away from what? Time away from family. Time away from family when most people gather around a dinner table about 6 o'clock, having supper, reminiscing about what has taken place of the day. But a farmer, they're going to miss out on those things. They're going to be able to have that time. I'm trying to paint a picture here. So why would Paul tell Timothy to be like a farmer? And I hope that we can see through Scripture why. A farmer is often left working by himself. Would I be correct on that statement, Danny? You're often working by yourself. And when you see somebody, you're probably elated. Oh, finally, a human being. And I know Neil goes through this as well. And I believe Will is in the farming as well. So there's a lot, and Chris. So we got a lot of farmers in here. See, if I don't mention your guys' name, you're going to chuck some corn at me. So I'm being smart here. But anyway, there's a lot of time that has taken place. A farmer's often left working by himself, just like that of a pastor. This is why Paul is taking the time, and he mentions a farmer last, because a farmer must have a good work ethic, and a farmer is going to be left by himself on many different occasions, and so is a pastor. Paul, in a sense, was telling Timothy, in a ministry, you cannot be lazy. Would you agree, farmers that are in here, you cannot afford to be lazy. You have to be on it. You have to be at it. You also have to be at it in different areas. You got to find out the best product that you're going to need to keep those weeds away from the crop that you have planted. You got to find the best seed that's going to give you the best growth and the best ear of corn as well. You got to have those things. In the ministry, you can't be lazy. And the easiest place to be lazy is this. It's in the ministry. I never thought of it like that before, but my old pastor, as I was talking to him probably about 8 years ago, he says, Chad, the easiest place to be lazy is in a ministry. Because you don't really have nobody telling you what to do throughout the day. And you can't afford to be lazy. You have to be productive. Paul wanted Timothy to have the work ethic of a farmer. If a farmer shows any signs of laziness, his old livelihood could be lost. Now, you farmers in here this morning, aren't you glad that Paul took the time to mention you this morning? Seriously, because he's wanting preachers, pastors, evangelists, missionaries to have that work ethic that a farmer has. To me, that's a great compliment to you men. And so he's being complimenting to you folks. He wanted them to have the same work ethic of a farmer. As I just said, if a farmer shows any signs of laziness, his whole livelihood can be lost. If his whole livelihood is lost, then that farmer who is sacrificed and dedicated his time, is, if he doesn't have nothing to show for it, that's pretty devastating. So let's continue to go on here. So the farmer gets up every day and works hard to preserve what he has. A farmer's work isn't glamorous by any means, but it is a job that is vital to the whole community. For what reason? So that we can survive, so that we can live, so that we can have life. You know, a pastor's job isn't glamorous as well either. Why do they do what they do? So that your livelihood isn't lost. You know, they're not feeding you physical food to survive, but a pastor is trying to feed you spiritual food so that you can survive. We're going to go get into that here in a little bit. Realistically, a farmer who is lazy should find another occupation. Would you gentlemen agree with that? If you know of a farmer who's lazy, you might say, buddy, you're not cut out for this. You need to find a different occupation. A pastor slash teacher is a group of people that Paul and Timothy are a part of. It's a group where laziness should not be tolerated. God has no place for lazy pastors. God has no place for lazy teachers. You have to put in the work. Amen? You have to put in the work. For an example, why did we do what we did yesterday? Because you got to put in the work to have fellowship with people. But Chad, that's pretty silly of you to cram into a van and go to Kansas City and have some barbecue and some ice cream and play putt-putt when you could have done it in Omaha. Yeah, we could have done it in Omaha. But if we would have done it in Omaha, we would not have had that connection that we had in that van for 6 hours. So you put in the work. You put in that time so that we can have fellowship, so that we can have conversations about the Word of God. You know what took place yesterday? This is really cool. We stopped at a few gas stations. Now, some of us are a little bit older now. A three-hour trip turns into 5 hours. You got to make stops. And I know if anybody that was 55 and older, we probably would have had to make more stops. We would have had to probably make it a three-day trip. But one of the things that I noticed was this. The work wasn't done just because we're in a van in a different city. There are tracks being put on cars from our church. See, I say this for a reason. Just because you're still having fun doesn't mean the work stops, does it? You still put in the work. And I was encouraged to see those things take place. You have to put in the work. A pastor slash teacher, regardless where you're serving, if you are lazy, you should not be in the ministry. You can't expect everybody else to be doing the work for you. I've heard people say, well, what makes a good pastor? One who is able to delegate. Yes, I would agree with that. But a pastor can't just depend upon everybody else doing the work. He's got to do the work as well. A teacher can't depend on all of his helpers to do the work. A teacher has to put in that time as well. You have to have a good work ethic. This isn't to be cruel, but God wants workers who are going to put in some hard work. A farmer puts in hard work. Work that we don't see take place. They probably have a schedule that would probably blow our mind away. Man, I got to take care of this. I got to take care of that. I got to take care of that. And, oh, it's 12:30 at night. I need to go home, get some rest. There's a good work ethic there. Paul was a hard working laborer. We find this. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just a few chapters back. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read verses 9 through 10. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 through 10. It says this. It says, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and this grace, and his grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I what? I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. So here in this verse here, you see Paul not really boasting about his work ethic, but he's saying, hey, I have labored, I put in the time, and I've done it more than what they've done. But it wasn't because of me, because of the grace of God. And he recognized that. If Paul didn't put the labor into the ministry, then the outcome would have been totally different. Matter of fact, what I mean by that? Well, if Paul was a lazy minister, we might be reading about him in a different sense. We might not have a majority of the New Testament written by him. But even with that being said, as I just said, Paul wrote a majority of the New Testament. Even while he was in prison, Paul was not lazy. He took time to write letters to the churches, either to scold them or to edify them. So he put labor into the ministry. What you put into things, you'll eventually reap the reward. And it is so true. I'm going to use Gary for an example. Gary hired Nolan the last couple summers to work with him. And Nolan's job got a little bit harder this year. And they were doing a remodeling this year. And really, it was like an addition to the house. And Nolan's new to this occupation, and he sees the house already, but he doesn't see the outcome of it. Well, as he stuck around through the summer, guess what he was able to see? He was able to see the reward of the labor that went into it. And if I correct me, I'm wrong, Gary, when you guys got close to the end, he's like, wow, we've done this. See, there's rewards into being a hard worker. Amen? There's rewards into those things. Paul, in the latter half, back in 2 Timothy, Paul in the latter half of verse number 6, let me get back there. Encourages Timothy to take first of his crop. Let's read this again. It says, "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits." When Timothy had spiritual food to give to the church, he must first take of it. If he wasn't fed the word of God, then he couldn't feed others. It would be impossible for any I shouldn't say impossible, because there's a lot of people that do get into the pulpit without studying the Word of God. But in order for me to be successful in giving you the Word of God, I must first partake of it. See, a lot of you folks will sit there and say, man, Chad was so rough on us and so hard on us today. Well, I want you to understand what I have to go through throughout the week. I'm dealing with it a lot more than what you're dealing with it just for the hour. And I hope you understand those things. An effective pastor or teacher, I want you to listen to this one, will get more out of the message than the audience does. There's times where I just cannot wait to get up here to give the message. Now, I was done with this on Wednesday night. Just because I was done typing it all up doesn't mean that I was done meditating upon it. It was on my mind most of the day yesterday. Everything was. So a pastor or a teacher will get more out of the message than the audience does. His time of preparation to teach God's word will also be a time of warm fellowship with God. And that is so true. There are so many times where as I'm reading, I'm trying to type stuff up, I stop and I just sit back and I'll just begin to pray and just have that fellowship with God. I can't describe it really, but it's really a time of peacefulness for me. And then I just get lost in my thoughts and just start thinking about the goodness of God. It's a sweet time of warm fellowship with God. Like a good farmer, any godly pastor will work hard, which is true, and then he will patiently await the harvest. You farmers that are in here, you went out this spring, you cultivated the field, you've planted the seed. You haven't been sitting idly by. You've been working very hard. And now you're at the point where you're going to go out into the field and you're going to harvest what you planted. You've been patiently waiting. And when you're patiently waiting to harvest, which really comes at the end of the age, not at the end of the meeting. Amen? Paul encourages Timothy in verse number 7. I know I've taken some time on this, but I might not get through this, which is okay. Paul encourages Timothy in verse number 7 to consider the things that he just spoke to him. The soldier that stops fighting the battle before it is finished will never see victory. That's why Paul's saying, hey, consider this. If you're going to quit before the battle's even finished, you're not going to see victory. There's a lot of soldiers, and I'm not talking just in the army in the world, I'm talking about in the army of God, who quits the army of God, and they don't see the victory. They walk away. That's the amazing thing about all this. God's created us with a free will, free choice. We can come and go. No different than church. We can come and go. Nobody's being held at gunpoint here. And so Paul's saying, hey, consider the ways. The athlete who stops running the race before it is over will never win the race. Now, the other day, as I was on a treadmill, I wasn't trying to win anything. But an athlete needs to stay focused, needs to stay on course to reap the rewards. The farmer who stops working before the harvest will never see the fruit of his crops. We must persevere and receive understanding, is what Paul's saying here. We must persevere and receive understanding from the Lord in all things. There's a lesson for everything. Timothy is instructed by Paul in verse number 8 to hold fast to the truth of the gospel. Remember that Jesus Christ, verse number 8, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So he's encouraging him to hold fast to the truth of the gospel for what? To preach that Jesus was and is the Messiah of Israel and the seed of David. God's plan of rescue was through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen to that. And then he's commanded to preach that he was also raised from the dead. This is something that we often overlook. Oh, no big deal. Jesus raised himself from the dead. Can I tell you something? There's nobody else that's ever done that thing. No one. This is one of the greatest credits that Jesus has. No other man has raised himself from the dead. Not even Buddha, not even Muhammad, none of those. Remember, the word gospel means good news. For Paul, the best news was not about more money. It was more love, more status, or more stuff. That's not what it was about to him. The good news was about a real relationship with God through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And how was he trying to encourage Timothy to get to that point? And that was this: remember what I said, have understanding, be strong, and put in good work ethic. You must have it. Paul's life wasn't a glamorous life, by the way. Many preachers today could not survive what Paul went through. Nor do I believe that many of them would want to. You mean you wouldn't want to do that? Let's be real, folks. What is glamorous about the authority chasing you around from city to city, wanting to either kill you or put you in jail? Yeah, I'll sign right up for that. You want that in blood? No, it wasn't a glamorous lifestyle. Paul clearly says that he suffered and was in trouble throughout his ministry. Verse number 9 says, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto the bonds, but the word of God is not bound." Paul would often find himself bound in chains. He would find himself being in prison, and he would find himself stoned or even left for dead. Why did Paul do this? Paul gladly suffered for the cause of Christ. When many find it easier and more convenient to walk away, Paul walked into his sufferings. It's like there's a door there. and it said, "Hey, Paul, there's sufferings beyond this door. Walk on through." Paul didn't knock, grabbed his doors, opened them right up, and walked through. We, when we see those doors, we see the word suffer, we see the word trouble, we see the word tribulation, and we just walk away. No, Paul walked right into it. Why? Because he was glad to suffer for the cause of Christ. He was glad to face them head on, never second-guessing himself. We're going to deal with Paul in the next hour to come. I'm looking forward to it. But this was done so the gospel would be preached, and that when preached and heard, souls would receive the salvation of Jesus Christ. Paul could not afford to have bad work ethics. Paul could not afford to be lazy. He gave us three occupations that are listed here in Scripture that you have to put in the hard labor. Being a believer is not an easy job. Folks, if we want to be successful and if we want the world to hear the good news of what we heard, to receive what we've received, then guess what, Tom? We have to put in the work. We have to. There's no other way around it. I know these farmers in here would probably say, the guy that's going to come on the field and help them out, they'll probably determine within the next 24 hours if he's going to make it. And they can probably tell by the look that they have on their hands. Ones that are got some dirt underneath the nails, they're probably saying, "Hey, that's the guy I want." They find a guy that has no dirt underneath his nails and always putting hand lotion on to keep his hands nice and soft, they'll probably say, "You know what, this guy's not going to make it." We have to put in the work. We must. We can't afford to be lazy. I know you read the end of the Bible. I know you all know that the Lord's coming back. But folks, I'm going to close with this thought. Why are we allowing everybody else to have more fun than what we're having? That's all I'm going to say. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the message that Paul has given Timothy to be a hard worker, not to be lazy. Lord, it's easy to be lazy. Lord, it takes endurance. It takes strength to continue the hard work that's ahead of us. But God, I know that through it all, you're with us. You're giving us that energy. You're giving us that strength to make it through every single day. God, I pray that you would allow us to be more fruitful for your kingdom. And we ask it in your name. Amen.